From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns has been preaching on the power of the Spirit, part of his ongoing series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The text is Acts 1:8, the final words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples prior to his ascension, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." In explaining the meanings of the power of the Holy Spirit, Dr. Cairns said that the essence of it is the operation of the Spirit to enable his servant so as to use that servant in exalting Christ. In the course of the message, we've seen that God's work cannot be done by human methods, that the power of the Holy Spirit is essential. In addition, there is a constant need for a fresh endowment of the Spirit's power for each task. Also, the evidence of the Spirit's power is that it is always for the purpose of doing God's work. In concluding the message, Dr. Cairns explains that the secret of obtaining the power of the Holy Spirit is to live constantly under the control of the Spirit. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, "What is revival?" The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
What is revival? Well, now there's a question, because if ever a word has been misused, it's the word revival. When I came to America at first, I was aghast when I was driving along and I would see outside of a church, "Revival, Sunday to Wednesday." Now, what on earth is this? And what they meant was they were having a series of specially prepared meetings, maybe of an evangelistic nature. I have no fault to find with people having special evangelistic drives. I'm all in favor of getting out the gospel, but that's not revival. What is revival? Real revival? Well, first of all, it's not anything that man can organize. One of the most iniquitous and insidious ideas that has ever been launched on evangelicalism and accepted by millions is the notion that was put out by Charles Finney that you could promote a revival. And he had this book, How to Promote a Revival. I remember as a young Christian reading this, and I wanted to see revival, so I was very interested in this. But this is nonsense. You cannot promote a revival. When the psalmist was praying about revival, he always prayed that it was God's work. He prayed, for example, the 85th Psalm, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" The word revive in English means to bring to life again, give fresh life to. That would let you see it's a work of God among His people. Revival is a sovereign work of God whereby He quickens His people. First, in their relationship with Him, and second, in their knowledge of the power of the risen Christ by the infilling of His Spirit. Revival always has the connotation then of that power overflowing to the outside world. Now, the fullness of the Spirit is a huge subject that I can't now get into. Every one of us should live under the full direction of the Holy Spirit. But it is in the sovereign decision of God as to when and how and to what extent He visits a church or a group of churches or an area with such a manifestation of His glory and a demonstration of His power as will humble first His people, bring them to pray, and then humble people all around, bringing them to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2009 is the 150th anniversary of the great revival that shook my homeland in Northern Ireland, the province of Ulster, in 1859. In one calendar year, about 100,000 people were saved. To this day, you can go to Ireland and you can see the churches still standing that were built to house the converts. Did anybody promote it? No. What happened was, a group of young men were burdened to see God work in the midst of the spiritual deadness and dearth that was abroad in the nation, and they started to pray. For a long time they prayed alone. They seemed to be getting nowhere. And then God gave an answer to prayer. One or two were saved. Some people more came to the prayer meeting. And then God moved in a marvelous way. In many ways, this was the spark of the fire of the revival in America in 1857, jumping across the Atlantic. And it landed in the county of Antrim in Northern Ireland and spread all over that little province. And there was a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit. That's what I mean by revival. I can't promote it, but I can pray for it. And God can send it. And if his people, which are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked way, he will hear from heaven. He will heal their land. And it's not talking about the political entity of the land. This is the land of the spiritual Israel, the Church of Christ. He'll move in that church, forgive their sins. He will do a great work. So, that's the vision. I trust you get a desire to pray. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum, located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
As you read the book of the Acts, you'll find that a fresh experience of that power is needful for every fresh situation and every new opportunity for service. We read in Acts 2 that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But in Acts 4, verse 8, we read that Peter again was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Acts 4, 31, again we read that the very same church, the people who had been filled, were now again filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts 9, 17, we read that Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet in Acts 13 and 9, when he stands before Elymas, the sorcerer, he is again filled with the Holy Ghost. You can never do the work of God on a past experience. For every new situation, there is need for a fresh endowment of power for service. The unchanging evidence of the fullness of the power of the Spirit of God is always power to do the work of God. Authority and ability to do God's work. We read in Luke 4
verse 14, the Lord Jesus was in the power of the Spirit. What did he start to do? Immediately to preach the Word of God. We read Acts 1 and 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We read in Acts chapter 4, when they were filled, then with great power they gave witness to the resurrection. This is the evidence of the fullness of the Spirit. Then the effects of this infilling, what will they be? I'm not going to preach these, but let me tell you, there'll be confidence in the servants. When a man's filled with the Holy Ghost, he has confidence in the gospel. I mentioned Ian Paisley a moment or two ago. One thing that I always point out to student ministers, and I've watched this over the years in the moderator, I've seen that man preach when physically he has been drained, when his face, through lack of sleep and the burdens of state and just feeling under the weather, has been more grey than white. I've heard him preach when, quite honestly, he didn't preach well according to his standard. When words were hard to come by, when thoughts could hardly be really put together as he would normally do, where his great oratory was certainly not in evidence. But when it would come to the appeal at the end of the meeting, he expected God to save souls. Because his thinking is, God is not dependent on this preacher. He's not dependent on my oratory. He's not dependent on my great deep thoughts and wonderful theology. The Holy Spirit of God is the author of salvation. And I expect God to bless his word. First thing you'll get is confidence in the servants. There will be the conversion of sinners. There will be the confusion of the enemy. There will be the creation of well-grounded Christians and well-grounded churches. There will always, where the Spirit of God gives us power, be the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in it all, God will show his sovereignty in the extent to which he does each or all of these things. When we talk about God filling men with power, we can't dictate to God the number he's going to see saved. I hear charismatic preachers say how many thousands they're going to have saved next year. I saw this up in Canada. I've heard it here in the States. That next year, or through the rest of this year, we're going to have 500,000 people saved. It's powerful when you can tell God what you're going to do. You know, even in revival, they never could have done that. In the book of the Acts, they never could have done that. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. They that were ordained to eternal life believed. God is sovereign. But these will be the effects that follow. Now, the biggest question that people have to ask is about the experience of this power, how to obtain it. Well, I think I've answered that in part. You live full of the Holy Ghost under his control. Let me give you a bit of advice. Do not desire the experience of being filled with the Spirit. Rather, desire a revelation of Christ. Desire that the Spirit will so reveal Christ to you, so overwhelm your heart with Christ, that you'll see him in all his glory. Desire Christ, because his love and his grace will fuel a fire within you to make him known. The more you know of Christ yourself, the more you'll want to make him known to others. And the sight of Christ will give you boldness. And in Acts 4, it's interesting, when they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't pray, "Lord, fill us with the Spirit." There's nothing wrong with that prayer. But that's not what they prayed. They prayed, "Lord, give us boldness to make known this Savior whom we love." And God answered that by filling them with the Holy Spirit. Consciously seek God's will. Consciously plead God's promise, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him?" Constantly aim at the Lord's glory. Be always in prayer. Not just for an experience for the sake of an experience, but for a powerful outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Let me add one thing there. I have been much impressed in the Great Awakening time in Scotland, in England, and here in North America, in the middle and 18th century, early and mid-18th century. There was an interesting phenomenon. In Scotland, there was revival. Cambus Lang, for instance, a little parish not far from Glasgow, there was a tremendous outpouring of the Spirit of God. In England, Wesley and Whitfield were seeing massive movements of the Holy Spirit of God. And here in North America, 1735, Jonathan Edwards had seen revival in Northampton. Then the Tennant brothers and Aaron Burr, people like this in the middle colonies, were seeing revival. But you know the interesting thing is this. Not only did they pray for their own work, but there was a great chain of prayer stretching through Scotland, through England, and North America, where they would call fast days, I think the first Tuesday of every month, and the ministers would have special times alone with God, not just to pray for their ministry, but to pray for a large outpouring of the Spirit of God in all these places where men were preaching Christ. They had a big vision. They were praying constantly, and God filled them with His Spirit. I close with the idea of the expectation of the fullness of the Spirit. Can we expect to be filled with the Holy Ghost today? Well, I think the Bible answers that very, very easily. Has it spoken of the withdrawal of the Holy Ghost or the promise? I have never read that. And just let me say in passing, there is not a verse in the Bible that ever speaks of the Spirit of God being taken away. In 2 Thessalonians 2, where some people imagine there is a verse that speaks of the Holy Ghost being taken away, first it's a mistranslation, or at least a misunderstanding of what the translators intended. It is certainly no reference to the Holy Ghost being taken away. Second, Acts chapter 2 quotes the book of Joel. This is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. The prophecy of Joel is to be filled right before the Lord Jesus Christ comes the second time. I turn to the book of the Revelation. I find in chapter 7, they're talking about the great tribulation period. And what happens? A multitude gets saved from all over the world in the midst of the great tribulation. I read again in Revelation chapter 11 in that same period that there are two witnesses who are filled with such power that they put confusion into the ranks of Antichrist. Well, I've got to say, if God is going to do that in the time of the great tribulation, then there's no time on earth that God can't work for the blessing of His people and the saving of souls. The promise is for today. You can't prescribe to God what He's going to do, to what extent He's going to work. But you can be filled with the Spirit of God for the service that God has for you. Remember the close connection between living full of the Holy Spirit and being filled with His power. Worldliness today is robbing the Church of Jesus Christ of vital power. It must be nauseating to God to hear these lame, lying excuses. Well, we have television today. We have movies today. We have money today. We have modern society today. And these are the reasons why we're not having any breath of the Spirit's power. Maybe those things are keeping you from the Spirit's power. I want to tell you, they are not a reason why God can't move in this nation. Holy people can always be filled with the Spirit of God. May the Lord enable us to live full of the Holy Ghost, to pray in faith, to obtain the blessing, and to cry to God until He answers, that He will fill us with His Spirit, make us full surrender, know that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.